Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Som nickar i mål! Han gör mål igen! 10:e målet i Allsvenskan för Nikola Djurdjic.
När Nikola Djurdjic i mitten av mars presenterades av Hammarby hamnade övergången lite i skuggan av återvändaren Erkan Sengin. Medan Sengins avtryck blev både litet och kortvarigt har Djurdjic målskytte och vinnarskalle lyft Hammarby till höjder klubben inte varit i närheten av på över ett decennium. I den här podden erkänner han att det var med viss tvekan han skrev på för Hammarby, men att han nu tror på klubbens potential.
I was never really attracted to play for a club that's middle of the table, satisfied with some other things than winning. What Jesper made me believe is that Hammarby can be next FC Copenhagen or Malmö in Scandinavia, and that when the snowball starts rolling, it's just gonna get bigger and bigger.
Med 10 matcher kvar av säsongen 2018 har Hammarby fortfarande vittring på SM-guldet, men mycket avgörs i derbyt mot AIK på söndag. Ett derby utöver det vanliga, och där Djurdjic hoppas kunna fokusera på fotbollen till skillnad mot senaste derbyt mot Djurgården.
A little bit of smoke going back in. I think that really killed my buzz before the derby against Djurgården. Going back to dressing room after warm up for 30 minutes. I know what happened there, but I completely lost the adrenaline, I have to be honest.
Utöver detta pratar vi om hans uppgörelse med Jonas Olsson i senaste derbyt. Hans brokiga karriär som tagit honom till 7 olika klubbar på 6 år. Om genombrottet i Norge, kaoset i Serbien. Och om tiden i Malmö FF som fick ett snöpligt och kanske oväntat slut.
I never really had this connection with Daniel Andersson. That I had for example with Oge, that I had with Jesper. I never felt like he really respects me as a player.
Men som vanligt inleder vi podden med en faktaruta. Age?
32.
Where do you live?
Södermalm.
Family?
Married, one kid, daughter.
Education?
High school and beginning university, but only 1 year.
Salary?
Big one.
Car?
Next week.
What hobbies do you have?
Basketball, movies.
What languages do you speak?
Serbian, English, German, pretty much Swedish, Norwegian.
According to you, who's the best player in the history of football?
Cannot say best, but my favorite, Thierry Henry.
What is the biggest moment you've had in your football career?
Playing for national team and debut goal against Schalke, last minute away.
What's the best prize or medal that you've won as a football player?
To play Champions League with Malmö.
Which is your favorite team?
I don't have one.
What kind of trash talk do you hear on the pitch?
Do I hear? I just hear myself with the trash talk. It's not nice.
What do you say?
I don't think the opponents like me that much, just to say it that way.
Which is the best player that you played with?
That I played with? Raul Bobadilla.
And the toughest opponent that you've...
Pepe.
In your career, what have you practiced most? Is there a detail or anything that you really tried to make better?
Finishing, probably.
Is there anything you can be that when you see another player, I want to have his skill in dribbling or anything? What makes you envious of other players?
I'm envious of Harry Kane's right foot and Cristiano Ronaldo's jumping.
Do you have a goal that you watch on YouTube that you've scored to get in the mood?
That goal against Schalke.
What's the most expensive thing you own?
Apartment.
What's your favorite swear word?
I'm not sure I could say that. It's Serbian bad word, so.
What makes you afraid?
Heights.
When was the last time you were really happy?
Last time I was playing with my daughter.
When was the last time you cried?
I never cried.
Paulsen med inlägget mot Djurdjic! Och 1-0 Hammarby! Och där dyker han upp, Nikola Djurdjic. Paulsen. Han mot Djurdjic! Oj, oj, oj! Så starka Djurdjic som kommer högst i den där duellen. Och prickar dit 3-0 för Hammarby.
Med sina 10 mål är Nikola Djurdjic Hammarbys främste målskytt den här säsongen. Men frågan är om inte hans vinnarskalle betytt mest för ett lag som länge haft lite av en loserstämpel på sig. När nu ett avgörande derby mot AIK närmar sig lär hans kompromisslösa spelstil komma väl till pass. Även om det inte riktigt räckte till i senaste derbyt mot Djurgården. We've seen you playing in a mask lately. How's the nose?
It's okay. It's much better now. But the mask, I would rather play without it, but I have to have it for 3 more weeks, I think.
Does it protect the mask?
I think so. I think it does. It's pretty solid material, but it also makes it hard when your pulse is 180, 190. It makes it hard to breathe and hard to head the ball and very hard to see the ball when it's around you, so it's inconvenient.
When you got hurt, did you realize how bad it was with the nose?
I thought it was worse because I was completely out for a couple of seconds. I think my nose went like completely to the right side and I heard a crack in my head, so I knew something was pretty bad, so I was afraid to stand in front of the mirror. And first 2 weeks didn't look so good. Now I think it's getting back. So I never had a pretty nose. I never was a pretty boy, so it's not much of a big deal.
And the coach of Hammarby said that even though you were injured in your nose, he couldn't stop you from playing. Don't you have any fear of going out when you've just cracked your nose like that?
No, not really. It's a nose. I'm happy it's not my foot or my knee or something.
Going out with a mask, and do the opponents try to do anything or do they say anything?
They try the derby.
In what way?
They try to hit where it hurts the most.
Okay. You had some tough duels in the derby. Jonas Olsson, I don't know if you're friends outside of the pitch or not.
No, definitely not. But I like what he did. He is a captain. He stepped up for it for his team, and he, in one way, he took me out of the game, and that's what a captain should do. He got away with it, and I'm not happy about that. And I think referees should protect players from stuff like this. And it's not coincidence that he's the one who did it. So, but he got away with it, and full respect from my side for him for doing that. It was maybe a little bit dirty play, but I like it.
How much did it hurt to lose the derby at home?
It was the worst feeling since I came to the club. This game and the game against AEK, to lose those two games home, it hurts a lot, especially when you don't have a game for two weeks after. There is nothing to fix it, so it still hurts.
Do you know why you lose games like that? Or AEK at home, Hammarby at home? Do you know what? Or Djurgården at home? Do you know what you lack?
I think we were, especially against AEK, it was a 0-0 game all day long. It was never supposed to be 0-1. Again, one referee's decision that was maybe doubtful. I think it was a 0-0 game. Also, that game we had Malmö 3 days before. We were a little bit tired. They had a free week, so that maybe made the difference. Against Djurgården, they just wanted to win more than we did, and it's simple as that. We were not tough enough. So derbies, you have to go out to kill if you want to win the game. So we didn't do it.
Looking at this season, Hammarby is in the top. Looking a couple of seasons back, that would be a really good result. But since you've been at the very top for a long time, the demands from fans and from yourself probably changed. Or how do you look at it if you don't reach the winning the title but still being in the top three or something? Is that okay?
Top three, I would say it's maybe... For me, first place is priority. Second place would definitely feel like failure, but it's very hard to compete with a team that didn't lose for more than 30 games and the team that has no loss in the season. They don't make any mistakes, and in that kind of perspective, it's not good enough. In maybe perspective, when you look the past couple of years for Hammarby, it's a fantastic season, but I don't care about that. I still want to win the title, and I still see the chance.
Yeah, but you've said many times in the interviews that you think you will win the gold. Do you still believe that?
Yeah, for sure. And I look forward to the derby. But as I said, we cannot afford any more mistakes. It's been too many points sold.
You're going into one game against Sirius first, and then you have the derby against AIK. Looking back now, when you've lost some points and made some mistakes, what do you think can be added to Hammarby that can make up to that for maybe next season, or to make it an even stronger team?
Definitely, I think the thing what Hammarby changed this year is the mentality and the desire to win the games. And the culture in the club, that 1 point is not enough. This is what we changed. But I think we have to be a little bit more stable, to have a little bit more of that security. Like, if you score one goal in a game, you definitely have to take at least 1 point. You cannot need to score three or four goals to win games against Dalkurd, 3-2 against Sundsvall, 4-3, stuff like this. I think we need to be more stable and to have a little bit more security, to play a little bit more on result than for fun. Because these fans, they want good football. They want to finish every attack with some nice move, with finishing. Sometimes it's not like that in football. Sometimes you have to play on result. And I think we have to be more mature in that way. Sometimes still some minutes at the end, you don't have to win nicely or sexy. You just have to take the points.
Jesper Jansson, who you know from Helsingborg, who's one of the architects behind Hammarby now, he talks a lot about changing the culture to create a winning culture, because that hasn't been the thing in Hammarby. They only have one title. Is it possible to change a winning culture, and how do you do it?
That was the first thing he told me when he called me before I came to Hammarby. He wants to change the culture. He don't want to this Hammarby to be likable for every other team. And how you do it? I think you do it on trainings. I think you do it on meetings. And then I think you do it when you go out on the game and show attitude that you want to win every game. And disappointment after games that you don't win has to be big, and that's the changing of the culture. Even when you win, you look for the mistakes. And then, I think also it's about the kind of players that you bring into the team.
Have you noticed a difference from when you came in March to how it is now in September? Is there a difference in culture?
Definitely. I think so. I think we set some standards in the club that were not here before. And I think also people expect a lot more from us, and we have more responsibility. So we know. But now the pressure is also coming. So it's going to be fun to see the last 10 games when everybody wants you to win every game. It's going to be fun to see. But those guys there, I think we have some winning heads in the team.
How much has it meant that you joined the team? What have you added coming in with a winning culture? I mean, you speak about it doesn't have to be sexy football. It's important to win. How much did you add to this?
I think I add my own, what I've learned in my career and what I have maybe from my back home from Serbia, that mentality that... Even when you watch Juventus, for example, and those superstars, and they are leading 1-0 3 minutes before the end, they can also go down, steal some seconds, do something, make a smart yellow card, professional free kick, stuff like that. That's for me winning culture, and that's what I try to bring into the team. Sometimes I do it in the meetings, sometimes some of the guys don't like it, but I still think that's the right way, because after all, when you win, everybody forgets after 2 hours how you won the game. It's all the points that count. And that's maybe my main role this year. Not always so much about football qualities, but some other things outside the pitch.
You belonged to Malmö a couple of years ago. And in Swedish football, everyone talks about Malmö having this winning culture. They've won the most championships. And what is the difference? You've played for both clubs. What's the difference with the culture in Malmö and the culture in Hammarby?
Also, I think that European spirit that you can feel in Malmö, that experience they have from Europe, and then also I think it's Makan as well.
Makan, Marcus Rosenberg.
I think he makes so much difference in trainings, the way he talks, the way he acts, and then also what he does in the games. He makes so much difference. He brings so much to that team, and I think he's still they cannot afford to lose him still.
Looking to this year in Hammarby, you came after they've lost against Frey 4-1. They had a pretty tough preseason, and still you chose to join them. And what was your expectations when you came and you saw them losing against Frey?
Actually, I was thinking, where the hell am I going to after I saw that game? But that was the day I came to Stockholm to meet Stefan Billborn and Yuki and Pablo. And after this game, Stefan came to me. We just met and he told me, no, Nico, we lost 4-1 against first division team, but I think we're doing well. And I saw what I wanted to see. And he said, we are on the right path. And I was thinking, what is this guy talking about? But a couple of months later, it all made sense.
Looking from the outside, you seem to be a different character than Stefan Billborn. He's a little bit more shy and perhaps not that strong character as you are. What's your view of Stefan Billborn as a coach?
I think he's a fresh air in the when I look back to the coaches I had. It feels good to have him. He has so much tolerance, and his communication with the player is fantastic. So I think it really feels good to have him as a coach, because sometimes in this sport you get tired of assholes and guys who try to brainwash you. So it feels good to have him.
Looking to one of the coaches who joined was Jocke Björklund, who was kind of, I mean, we know him in Sweden as a great player, but we really know him as a coach. And some people say that he has had quite an influence on Hammarby. What do you think?
Yeah, he does a lot behind the scenes, so to say. He's it's very, very important that he's been through a lot in his career, and he knows how to say it to the other guys. And also, he is maybe in charge for our defense, but he also says, like, I don't care. We are the kind of team that wins by scoring goals, by scoring one goal more than opponent. So he's not crazy about keeping the zero all the time. And so he knows the style that we play. We're going to suffer sometimes. But I think he's doing a fantastic job, and it's sometimes really, really fun and interesting to listen to him talking about football.
You, since you played in Sweden, both for Helsingborg and Malmö, what was your view of Hammarby before?
It was not that nice, to be honest, except the fans and the nice things around the club. I was never really attracted to play for a club that's middle of the table, satisfied with some other things than winning. But then when Jesper called me, I know Jesper from before, I know how he's thinking, and when he told me about the ideas he have, and also a pretty big part had the agent Michael Kalbeck, who, although when I canceled my contract with Randers, I had a lot of offers, he convinced me to be patient, to wait for Hammarby. It took over a month, but I'm really happy that I waited.
Yeah, and what did Hammarby sell to you, except I guess a good contract, but what did they sell in as an idea of coming here?
What Jesper made me believe is that Hammarby can be next FC Copenhagen or Malmö in Scandinavia, and that when the snowball starts rolling, it's just gonna get bigger and bigger, and I think we are on the right way now.
How is it to enter Tele2 Arena in before a game? How do you experience it?
It's special. I love it. I really love playing here, and I wish we had even more fans. To be honest, I expected a little bit more euphoria around the team now that we were doing so well, and but then the summer came with the vacations, so I expected still a little bit extra from the fans as well. Maybe we are spoiled because we have over 20,000 every game, but it's been a fantastic season, so I would like them to do a little bit extra and push us, because we depend on them.
Since you've played in Haugesund in Norway for many years, you also played in Denmark and in Sweden. How do you rank playing in front of Hammarby's fans compared to otherwhere in Scandinavia and in Sweden?
It's completely insane. Hammarby fans are something special, especially when I see Monday evening game away against Trelleborg. There's over 1,000 of them there. It's not easy to get there. People are working. I have so much respect for these people. And but I also know it's not because we're winning. It's that culture that Hammarby has. So it's beautiful to see. And it's something that, for example, I would like to have maybe back home in Serbia. It would be nice to have this, but it's not like that. So it's fantastic.
Coming into this game against AIK, how do you feel going into a derby? I mean, there's a lot of crowd and atmosphere, but also last derby we saw a flare thrown. And what's your view of this?
I think we should also respect the fans, and they have their own way of expressing. But still, we have to be realistic and say the stupid things that doesn't belong to stadium. So I have respect for maybe piratery or whatever. I come from a country where when we play the derby, everybody goes crazy. We have a lot of flares, whatever. But still, I would respect it if we don't have to come back to the dressing room after we go out. It's a little bit too much when you throw a flare to family stand. I think that doesn't belong in our sense.
If your wife and child would have been sitting in that stand, what would your view have been?
I don't know. Maybe I would do what Tobias Sana did in Göteborg a couple of years ago with a corner flag if I saw somebody throw a flare towards my family.
Your family comes to derbies too?
Yeah, for sure.
Looking from where you come from, if you see Belgrade derbies, I mean, there's a lot of flares and things. They don't go off from the pitch and warm up as we do here in Sweden.
No, you just keep on playing.
What's your view? What should we do in Sweden?
I would rather play on. I mean, I played a derby in Serbia where half of the stadium was burning and we were still playing. I don't mean in that way, but also a little bit of smoke going back in. I think that really killed my buzz before the derby against Jurgården. Going back to dressing room after warm up for 30 minutes. I know what happened there, but I completely lost the adrenaline, I have to be honest. And then you think, do you even want to play now or should we stop this game? And it destroyed my derby feeling, definitely, these 30 minutes.
Would you have liked to postpone the game instead?
I would rather play it some other time than coming back after 30 minutes and then halftime again. I really don't like it.
Did they talk to you players about this? Because it was quite a long time they had these discussions, what they should do and not do.
No, they just gave us info when the game should start, so we don't have any part in it.
You would have wanted to play on from the beginning or postpone it?
Exactly. Either play the game or this waiting 30 minutes, 45 minutes, it just kills the adrenaline, the buzz, and it killed my derby feeling for sure.
Going into the game against AIK, it will be over 40,000 people. How is it to go into a game like that?
You live for games like this. I just hope they lose in the weekend and we win. And then the Stockholm Derby that might decide the title in Sweden. I don't think that has happened before. So I think it should be like the biggest game in Allsvenskan in past 10 years or something.
Is there any feeling of that you can be afraid of what would happen? I mean, the fans are lively and sometimes they're mad.
That's okay. I can also be mad. I mean, whatever happens in the derby, I've been through a lot in my life, so I will never say I'm scared of these kind of things. Whatever happens, it happens, but I'm not scared.
Going into the derby, it's kind of your last chance. You have to beat AIK. How will that affect you?
It's extra pressure for sure, but as I said, we got nothing to lose. We want to go all in, and I live for games like this. I can't wait for it, but still, I would rather think about Monday first. I don't want to spill any more points.
But if you look at the AIK seasons, you talked about it before, that they haven't hardly made any mistakes. Well, is it anything that impresses you with AIK?
Yeah, their coach.
In what way?
That stability they have in the team, how solid they are, and the way they play on result, it's impressive. It's not nice football, but also when they have so much games without losing, then the confidence grows and then the game comes to you and then it's easier to play and then suddenly you can also play beautiful football. But it all came from that. Then when they were not playing good football, they were struggling, they still got the points, they still got the results, and for me that's coach stamp on it. All day long, so a lot of respect for him.
Football-wise, which team in Stockholm plays the best football?
Hammarby.
Why?
We play offensive football, we play modern football, and we risk much more than the others, maybe, but also we have most skillful players.
And now you've signed on for a contract until 2021. What convinced you of staying and not going on another adventure?
I just had a really good feeling about it, and I feel good here. I play good football, and I'm enjoying Stockholm right now. I'm enjoying Hammarby, so it was the logical thing to do.
It must have been a good contract after you started the season so well and going into... could have been a bossman.
Yeah, that's true. But I also... the point when Jesper called me to join Hammarby was not my best time in career after two goals in half season in Randers, playing as a number six. So not everybody could recognize that I'm going to get back on my feet very fast. He did, and in one way this was my payback to Jesper for the trust he gave me, and I wanted to do it.
A lot of fans were worried the other day when you were out flying with your agent. You were just in Copenhagen.
Yeah, we...
Is it playing with a thing or making people worried, or is it just a joke?
That was not the point for sure. But people around Hammarby a little bit extra emotional sometimes, and yeah, but it was no meaning to stress anybody or anything. I'm here and yeah, no worries about that.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Och det var sommarens nyförvärv från norska Haugesund, Nikola Djurdjic, som blev matchhjälte. Han gjorde ett äkta hattrick på en kvart. Först var han framme på en retur efter Mattias Lindströms skott. Serbens andra prickades in från straffpunkten. Och Djurdjic tredje och Helsingborgs fjärde för dagen kom efter fint samarbete där Rashid Bouazan snyggt spelade fram serben som i målet satte punkt.
Bra kontringsläge här för Malmö FF där Djurdjic kvitterar! Nikola Djurdjic gör sitt andra mål i matchen.
Djurdjic tappar målet och Djurdjic får ett kanonläge och gör 1-0.
Rosenberg lämnar vidare till Berge, tillbaka till Rosenberg och titta på Malmö FF! Djurdjic!
Det tog inte lång tid för Nikola Djurdjic att göra sig ett namn i svensk fotboll. De regerande mästarna Helsingborgs IF värvade in honom hösten 2012 för att stärka upp offensiven inför det kommande Europaspelet. Och Djurdjic betalade tillbaka med 10 mål på 11 allsvenska matcher och därtill 4 fullträffar i Europa League. De flesta menade att serben var för bra för allsvenskan och mycket riktigt blev det bara en halv säsong i Sverige den gången. Efter ett par skadeskjuta säsonger i Bundesliga återförenades han med Åge Hareide i allsvenskan, den här gången i Malmö FF. Men trots Champions League-avancemang och en hel del poäng berättar han nu att han aldrig riktigt kände något förtroende från sportchefen Daniel Andersson.
Going back to Serbia, where you come from and where you kind of took your first football steps, in what way did that make you as a player, the way you play in Serbian football, that football is maybe a way out from going to some countries that are, you make more money?
Maybe not that much football, but the life in Serbia makes you choose either gonna drive taxi back home, with all due respect to taxi drivers, but it's not the best thing to do back home, or you're gonna play sports and find your way through to go outside the country. So for me it was that also the war that changed a little bit, gives you that survival mentality. So as I said, you're not scared from some things that the other people are, and your pain levels are a little bit higher, so you can take a lot of stuff. And in that way my character was formed when I was very young. So I think it also affects my style of playing and my courage and my confidence.
Growing up in Serbia, and that was the bombings, the NATO bombings in the late 90s, how did that affect you as a child?
I was scared at the beginning a lot, but then we were still kids and we just realized, oh, we're not going to school, we can play football all day long when we're not in the shelter. So it was fun, actually, until you hear the bombs dropping around and glasses on the buildings are exploding. So yeah, it was, maybe if I was a bit older I would be more scared, but as a 12-13 year old I was just happy I'm not going to school.
And was football as important for you then as it is now when you were a kid? Did you see that as a way of yeah. making a living?
Yeah, actually it was all the time, but also I was very talented in basketball, so I could choose what I do, but football always, that smell of the grass and that feeling when you score a goal, it's, nothing beats that.
If you look at the countries that export players, Serbia is number four after Brazil, Argentina and France, much bigger countries, and in pretty much the same with Croatia. What is it that you have in these small countries, the love of the ball and both basketball, handball, football, how come it's so important for you and that you're so good at it?
And also I also have to come back to the lifestyle back home, and if you want to do something, sometimes you don't have a choice. And you know, kids, for example, in Scandinavia, they always have a choice what to do. Nobody's going to put pressure on them because they can choose if they're going to stay home, play video games. They're well taken care of for maybe rest of the life. The country, the government, they're going to take care of you. You're always going to have... In Serbia, it's not like that. You don't really have a choice if you want to go to training or not. I never had a choice if I'm going to at least go 100% in or not. So maybe that's a little bit the difference that that makes that mentality. For me, it's...
But was that your parents or was it the society?
Not just the parents, society. You see around yourself, you don't really have a choice. If you want to make something in your life, you have to go all in. And I'm not sure that, for example, there is maybe, I've seen some talented players in Scandinavia, some players that played with me that get offered to go to Germany. They don't want to go. They don't want to go away from their friends. They're in their comfort zone, and we don't have that luxury to be in our comfort zone. We go a little bit harder, we go... I think our mentality is a little bit stronger also, so, but I don't mean to disrespect anybody, but I think that's also Balkan players' biggest strength.
When did you make that choice between basketball and football? What age?
15, I think. 15, yeah. Because I was very skinny and small when I was a kid, and then suddenly started growing, and suddenly the skills I had, I could actually use them on the pitch, and I was thinking, ah, okay, this is going to be good. And then when I was 16, I think I scored like 40 goals in the youth league back home. And I was thinking like, yeah, that's it, that's what I'm going to do.
Your aim was to leave Serbia and come out and be a professional?
Yeah, for sure, always. But I came out very late and I lost some years in Serbia with crazy reasons, but I came out from Serbia when I was 22 and a half, and I came to first division in Norway, and I had to go on trial. And if you say to somebody who comes with 23 years to first division in Norway,
which is the second division,
which is that's like Superettan,
yeah,
still
exactly.
It's not the highest level.
No.
But if you say to this guy who is 23 years old going on trial there, that one day he's going to play for national team, he's going to play Bundesliga, he's going to play Champions League, I would say it's most unlikely. But I think my mentality took me through, and I went all the way around, but I got where I wanted.
That was when you played for Vostovak?
Yes.
In Belgium. What happened there? Because you started out well, but it didn't turn out that well.
I started out well in the top league. I was maybe third or fourth goal scorer in that season, but we were relegated. And when I had offers, when I played for under 21 national team, they didn't want to let me go. And then I had 1 year when I broke my leg three times lost 1.5 years, and then it was already, I was 22 and a half, and nobody really wanted me, and I had to go on trial to Haugesund.
How come you didn't give up and started driving taxi?
My head, exactly, that's my mentality, that's what made me strong, and that's when I grew up, this 1.5 years, I grew up.
In a football world in Serbia, can you trust people?
No.
Why not?
You cannot trust anybody around football, agents, presidents, sports directors. It's a lot of people that don't have anything to do with football that are actually on those positions. So a lot of criminal, and it's. I went there 2 years ago back to Serbia. That was my biggest mistake in career, and I will never do that again.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about the other clubs, but you decided when you were in Bundesliga to return and play for Partizan Belgrade, which I understand is the club you supported as a kid. What went wrong there?
Everything. 2 weeks after I came to the club, or 3 weeks, we didn't qualify for Europa League. We lost in the qualifiers. The coach was sacked. Everything went to hell. The fans went crazy. We played 0-0 first game in the league. It's like the whole world was falling apart. Everything. This is the end of the world. So these three players that they brought in the summer, me and two other guys that were the big signings, they wanted us away 4 weeks after we came. So one guy actually left like 6 weeks after he came. And I didn't want to go, but I stayed 6 months. But that was the not good time for me.
Were you paid?
No, I was maybe 30% of what I was supposed to be paid. So had to be a settlement at the end. I just wanted to go, so I accepted some things just to go. So
how were the fans? Some of the fans are pretty tough there.
Yeah, actually, the fans, I have a really good connection with them even there. But still, I was not playing good there. I was not feeling well, and a lot of guys were suffering in the team. You know, when the fans come to your trainings, they come to your restaurant at the lunch, where the team has the lunch, and then next to sports director or president, they're standing and saying to you what you're going to do, what you have to do, they're going to punish us in this way, that way. It has nothing to do with football, so.
Were you beaten?
No.
Were you afraid?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah.
How is it possible to play football when you're afraid?
I don't know. It's you lose it. You don't feel like playing football. You feel like somebody is punishing you by letting you play football.
Did you ever think of not playing anymore, or did you just want to get out of it?
I just wanted to get out. And I couldn't believe that I was actually begging people from Augsburg to sell me to back to Serbia. When everybody wants to go to Bundesliga, I was begging them to let me go to play for my childhood club.
Why was that?
It was my biggest dream to play for them, and my wife was pregnant at the time, was supposed to give birth to my daughter back home, and I wanted to be there. So I just thought like, yeah, this is the right thing to do, and what a mistake. I still don't believe what I did.
Would you go back and play in Serbia?
Never ever again in my life.
Going back to when you left Serbia the first time and you went to Haugesund, how come you ended up in Haugesund in a Superettan club in Norway on a trial? It sounds kind of unrealistic.
It's crazy. They saw my video somewhere and they want to see me on trial. And I was actually third day of trial. They told me, Nico, you're a good player and everything, but we are not looking for this type of player. And I got so disappointed because I was thinking I was doing well on trainings. And it was Thursday and they told me I can go. And my flight was on Saturday evening. And I got so insulted and I didn't want to train on Thursday and Friday. I was injured, my knee was hurting. And then on Saturday, I was waiting for my flight 2 days in the room. And then on Saturday, I was thinking, okay, if I don't stay here, I'm going back to Serbia to play, and then I'm done. And I still remember there was this ibuprofen tablets at the time. They were pink. My mother put in my bag. I just took a full hand, took it in, knocked on the sports director door and said, I want to play the game today. I came out, I destroyed, we played against Silkeborg, I remember. I destroyed them. And I remember the game was over and both sports director Haugesund and sports director of Silkeborg were chasing me to give me contract after the game. So it all turned around like this with that game. And I was that close. If I took a flight on Thursday, I would probably, as I said, be driving taxi back in Serbia right now. And it's a story that also a sports director from Haugesund likes to say from time to time how small margins in football are, because 2 years later I was player of the year in Tippeligaen and in Norway.
Yeah, and how come you had such a great development in Norway? You scored a lot of goals. How come everything fell in the right position there?
I have to say one name, Erik Holmland. He was a player when I came and after that assistant coach. And also Justin Greenhout, the coach, but Erik Hornland is the guy who was the best coach I ever had in my career, and the guy who taught me the most in football. The guy who taught me to play both ways, rip pressure, high pressure. The person I respect most in football, it's Erik Hornland. So he is at the moment now first coach in Haugesund. So I was lucky to have him.
And after you did really well, you ended up in Helsingborg on loan, and for half a year they had kind of like an option to buy you, but it was probable that you would go to other clubs. But how did you reason when you went to Helsingborg for half a year?
I was a player of the year in Norway. I was a top scorer at the half season in Norway. I was like 5-6 goals ahead of a second. And I couldn't get an offer from a club from top five leagues. And I wanted to go to Germany so bad. And then I realized if I don't play Europe or Europa League, I'm never going to get to those leagues. And then Åge Hareide called me and he said, we play Champions League qualifier. If you lose, we are in group stage of Europa League. So that's your chance. And I took the chance and I scored 4 goals in the group stage in Europa League. And finally, even Greuther Fürth, that was one of the small clubs in Bundesliga, when the call came, I didn't think for 2 seconds. I was on my way to Germany, and I made my dream come true.
How was your half a year in Helsingborg?
Oof, good, good, really good. I think I scored a goal per game in Allsvenskan, and then in Europa. It was good. I remember it was short, but fun. And I met some really nice guys and made some really good friends. Helsingborg was a fantastic, fantastic move.
But there was no hesitation when a Bundesliga club came. You had a pretty good start there, but also there you got an injury.
Yeah. I scored 5-6 goals in Bundesliga in half season in the club that relegated, which was pretty good. I got some offers and I was very close to signing for Celtic after these 6 months. And when the third offer from Celtic came and when the clubs were close to making an agreement, I the season already started in second league in Bundesliga beginning of August, and I had ACL rupture, so 6 months out, and then start not from zero, you start from minus.
Yeah, and it's kind of typical with the when you're so close of taking a next step in a big club and you have to start over again. You stay there, but you signed for Augsburg. How come they were interested after?
Because we had 2 friendly games against Augsburg where I scored some nice goals. And also the game in Bundesliga the year before we played in Augsburg, I was very good. And also, the operation I did my knee was performed by the doctor of Augsburg. So he monitored my recovery. He knew that I was fit and he saw me working in the gym on my recovery. He saw me 6-7 hours per day in the gym. And when they asked him about me, he said, yeah, this guy, he's got the mentality. So They even paid almost 1.5 million euros for me, which for a guy who had like 4 months ago came back from this injury, I was 28. It was a lot of money. So it was a nice move, but it didn't really work out.
Now, how come? I mean, you've changed club many times. How come it sometimes works out and sometimes not?
Yeah. Also, the thing is that maybe I get too disappointed when I'm not starting all the games. And in Augsburg, we had a coach who was rotating us strikers, four strikers. We were like, you never know if you're going to be first 11, bench or tribune. And it was like rotating every week. I was sometimes from Wednesday not being in the squad, Saturday playing in the first 11 and the other way around. And I think top scorer from the strikers had 3 goals in that season in Augsburg. But the team was doing so well. But all the goals were coming from the wingers, from the midfielders, defenders. And the strikers were suffering, but they had a lot of big, important role in defensive work. So we finished fifth. I played more than half games. And that year in Bundesliga, we finished in front of Dortmund, Schalke. So it was biggest success. We came directly to Europa League. Biggest success in history of Augsburg. So we beat Bayern Munich away, Dortmund away, Gladbach away, Schalke away. It was crazy season. And you cannot really complain when the things are going so well. Until 7-8 games before the end of the season, when I got substituted at the halftime, when I thought I had a really good game, I reacted, smashed the door in the dressing room in the halftime. And you don't get to do that in Germany. And the last 8 games in the season, I was not in the squad. And that was my end in Augsburg.
Did they say anything? Did they ask you, why did you smash the door? Or did you know that?
Somehow I had a feeling it was the easiest solution because some of the strikers needed to be out. They actually wanted to give me another chance after that season, and they wanted me to stay. But Malmö came, and I didn't feel like going through that again, playing one game, going to tribune. It's just so hard to get any confidence. And I knew with this coach, for me, there is not real future. So, yeah, I decided to move.
You came to Malmö. How was it to go from, I mean, you played for the biggest rival, Helsingborg, and then you go and play for Malmö. Did you react? I for the fans it's something, but I understand that you who come and play for a lot of clubs maybe don't think the same way as the fans, but how did you think about that?
I think I would think differently if I stayed in Helsingborg for 2 or 3 years, if I had this real connection with them. But the thing is, I was there for 4 months and maybe I didn't really feel it that much. That I belong to Helsingborg and that I was really Helsingborg player. And when you're there on loan for 4 months, the chemistry doesn't really... So to be honest, I didn't have problem doing that. And I don't think I did something wrong. But on the other hand, I know if I was there for 2 or 3 years, I would never go to biggest rival from Haugesund. Because I felt like, yeah, I'm the Haugesund guy. So I didn't feel that in Helsingborg because simply I was there for too short time. And... Olga as well, he was coach of Helsingborg and then he was coach of Malmö. So for me, in that way, I was thinking, yeah, if he can do it, I can do it.
Going into Malmö, you had quite successful in, you didn't win the league, but you went into the Champions League and played all those great games. How do you look back at your half a year in Malmö?
I just remember the pain. I was injured almost all the time with my groin. But it was an amazing trip to Champions League. And also Malmö has something special in their culture. They are, this European tradition they have, this Malmö is a little bit special club. And a lot of friends there, a lot of Balkan people in Malmö. Behind the goal in the stands, a lot of Balkan people. So it was nice, it was fun. I think they really loved me there. I had a lot of success. But I already know that when we go play their way, they're not going to be so friendly.
No, how do you expect the reception?
Oh, I'm happy that there's four of us now, me, Hamad, Vilan and Radish that are going to be. But I know there's going to be some boos and some ugly words. But I like that about football. It has to be like that. Either love me or hate me, nothing in between.
Going to the end in your Malmö period, was it the Malmö who didn't want to keep you or was it that you didn't want to stay? You kind of just disappeared and suddenly you turned up at the Augsburg training.
I had the operation end of November and I think they really were afraid how I'm going to be after the operation. And also I never really had this connection with Daniel Anderson that I had, for example, with Ogier, that I had with Jesper. I never felt like he really respects me as a player, which is nothing. I mean, it's how people feel about it's a taste. I never felt like he really respected me as a player, but that's okay. So I know they wanted to take me in the beginning. After that, I just felt also I didn't want to stay. And it was unrealistic as well, with Augsburg asking a lot of money. It was never even close. So it was...
But you never really had any goodbye. You kind of just disappeared, or?
Exactly. And that's what maybe hurts a little bit, because I think we also had a lot of success there, and maybe somebody should just come and say, okay, thank you, shake your hand, thank you for your time in Malmö, whatever, give me a small present, say goodbye. But I felt like the day we played that last game against Real Madrid, lost, embarrassing, okay, let's get away from here.
Sounds kind of tough.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I really felt... We split up in a really ugly way, considering how it all started. And it was unrealistic to go to Champions League with that team that I came to. They were number 8 or 9 in Allsvenskan, and the guys were not really looking good. They barely beat Žalgiris when I came there. And we took out Celtic and Salzburg, deservedly, both games. We came to Champions League, we beat Shakhtar. In the league, we almost didn't lose any game. I think we lost one game since I came to the club. And to split up like that without anything, I don't know. For me, there was also really nice times, but I felt at the end that we didn't split up in the right way.
Football, I mean, you've changed clubs a lot and you've also talked about a lot that all the mistakes, choosing clubs. It seems like a really, it can be beautiful, but it can also be a really ugly business. I mean... Not really people being that nice to him. It's just business.
It can be. But also, I've been also making mistakes, making bad decisions career-wise. As also how it is when you make decisions on the pitch, when you play a game, it's also what you do off the pitch. And I've been first Partizan, then going back to Augsburg, trying to get along with the coach again. Same thing happens 3 weeks later, going to Düsseldorf, and then even worse, going to Randers. Those three decisions, I don't know which one was the worst. And that's all mine. And I suffered a lot because of that.
Did you take those decisions on your own, or did you didn't have an agent? Or
no, it was mostly my decisions and my mistakes.
And how do you... curious that how do you take those decisions? I mean, going to Randers.
That was unexplainable. 2 hours, 3 hours before the transfer window ends, 31st of January. I'm injured, like in Serbia. I had the offer to go to Kiev 3 days before, and I couldn't pass the medical test. And this thing goes to hell. Serie A club. And then you're not paid for 5 months in a row in Partizan. You don't want to be there. And then Randers comes up and says, 3 hours before the transfer window ends, okay, we come here, we're going to give you whatever time you need to recover. Just sign, blah, blah. Say, thinking Denmark, Scandinavia was fantastic, has to be. They're number 3 at the table, okay, should go there. I signed there almost before the midnight. And then, like, after midnight, I looked at the club, at the city, whatever, where I signed. And
after you
yes,
signed?
Yes, actually, yes. And Yeah, I just the mentality of people there is, I really didn't like it. They're special a little bit. For me, it was a little bit too much. And
in what way are they special?
I don't think they were so open to foreigners. I think they wanted guys who's gonna just do this with the head. Yes, no, they don't make problems. They don't talk too much. They don't show off. They don't wanna go with big words in public. It's okay if you don't win a game. Just keep quiet. If you lose, no, doesn't matter. Monday is a new day. Everything I hate, everything that I hate was there, and I was playing maybe number 8, number 6 on the field. I was hating everything at the time. I didn't feel good going to the games, and football doesn't make fun then. So. And then I realized, okay, are you going to save your career? What are you going to do? I just have to break a contract and make once a smart decision. So that's why I took 1 month waiting for Hammarby, because I felt this is the right. No more 2 hours decisions, no more following your heart. No, this is the smart decision. This is what you're going to wait for. This is what you're going to do.
As you talk about the things you hate, you're kind of, when we journalists talk to you, you're kind of outspoken and maybe not as polished as some other players. How do you think about that? We're going to win the gold, or we're going to. Most people in Swedish football wouldn't say like that.
But I don't choose my words sometimes. But I don't think. I think it's okay to go out and say you're gonna win something and don't win it. I think it's okay as long as you get this mentality that you really want to go for it. I don't think it's embarrassing not to win it. I think it's sometimes disappointing not to go for it and to be humble. And football career is too short to be humble always. And sometimes it's smart. But I like to be aggressive. I like to show that we are there. And I think that's what changed this year, that we came out and we said, okay, we gave statements. Yeah, we're going to go for it. Everybody was laughing to Mujo 10 months ago. But
That's Tankovic.
Yeah,
everyone's
exactly.
There. Yeah.
But I like that attitude. I like it. I don't feel it's embarrassing if you say you're going to win the title and you don't win it. But I didn't say it because I'm stupid or crazy. I said it because I saw that there is something in this team, and I still believe we're going to win the title. I'm sure in it.
Rodic coming here, who's also from Serbia, you played together in Malmö. How involved were you in that process? He was in Denmark, in Anders too.
Yeah, I maybe gave some advice to Jesper and Mikael Jernberg, but they already knew about him. And he's been playing in Malmö as well. He's well known in Sweden. And he was maybe also this kind of prospect as I was at the time. They just need somebody to recognize him. And he had amazing 6 months in Silkeborg. And I was sure if he comes here, it's going to be a perfect match. So far, he's been fantastic. And I don't want to jinx him now, but I expect a lot from him.
You're playing until 2021. What do you see after your career? I mean, you're not going to play for 10 more years.
I'm
going to
play for a long time. I know that for sure. With my body, I hope to avoid injuries, but I know I can play for a long time. But I want to stay in football, that's for sure. As a coach, sports director, agent, I don't know, but I'm going to look into that. But I think I've been through a lot in football, and I think I can help a lot of others as well, and I also learned a lot. I know football, and I should use it.
Sometimes in Sweden we think that here is kind of well organized, and it's not like in other countries, maybe more corrupt football and things like that. What's your view of being here in Sweden? Can you trust people here in Sweden?
Yeah, for sure. I do. I have a feeling that somebody would come to you with something irregular, I think that would first call psychiatrist, then police. Like, what are you thinking? To do this in Sweden? No. It's a taboo here, and I like it. It's clean.
So are you thinking of staying here in after?
Yeah, I like it. It's also long term, especially when I want to have family, and I would rather have my kids growing up here.
But you said one of the best things in your career was playing for the national team. You played one game.
Yeah, I played one game. I was on the bench 6-7 times, but that's a dream come true.
How come it wasn't more than that?
My injury came. My ACL came. And then also Serbia national team. It's so much competition. It's crazy because almost always the strikers have been playing in Premier League or top scorers in France, Italy. So if you're not up there every weekend scoring goals, you don't get to play for Serbia. And when I went to Malmö, it was already, I was not even close there. So I need that. Often when they ask me, I think I need like 3 earthquakes, 25 injuries, and something more to get to the wide list back again. There's a lot of good players in Serbia. It's really hard to get there.
Yeah, it is. So that you've put on the side. Now it's Hammarby.
Yeah, for sure. It's always, the national team for me is always the holy thing. You don't say no to, but at the time, I just look at Hammarby.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Podden är tillbaka och tanken är att köra varje måndag. Och inom några veckor så är det dags för den filmade podden. Och är det några tankar, idéer eller synpunkter så är det bara att höra av sig. Och enklast gör ni det via Twitter Olof Lund eller Instagram Olof Lund eller via mail olof.lund@tv4.se. Tack så mycket för den här veckan.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.